Good evening, everyone. Would you please open your Bibles to John chapter 15? My lesson will be taken from John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. You might think that this is a continuation from Sunday's lessons that we had, the AM and PM, but it was something that I had prepared couple months in advance, that one Wednesday when we didn't have services because there was a water breakout in the driveway, that was my turn. So that's this lesson. So whether you think of it as a continuation from Sunday, it's all God's word. And so verse 1 says, Jesus says that I am the true vine. And my Father, and I'm reading out of the King James Version, and my Father is the husbandman, or my Father is the farmer. And so Jesus is the true vine, and we'll talk about these first verses 1 through 8 in just a minute. Before we go there, listening to Sunday's lessons that we had, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I kept having that those verses in mind, and I'd like to talk about it for just a few minutes before we go into our lesson. But keep in mind that the lesson is that Jesus is the true vine. Let's go hold that spot there and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we know that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the chapter of what? Resurrection. But I'd like to make a point here, and I'd like for us, if we don't get anything else from tonight's lesson, I'd like for us to take this thought with us, because this is the reason why Jesus has come to earth. This is why Jesus has died. This is why Jesus has built his church, has established his kingdom, because of what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24 says. It says there, then cometh, or let's begin with verse 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, and this is the verse that I'd like for us to really pay attention to, because it talks about the kingdom, and we know that the kingdom is what? It's the church. And so if what this verse is going to say, if Christ is coming back for his kingdom, he's coming back for his church, and he's going to present it to God. And so what does that mean for us? It means that we need to make sure that we are in what? In his church, in God's kingdom. You know, Sunday, AM and PM, we talked about, or Obed preached about, Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Well, some say that you're John the Baptist, Elias, one of the prophets. He says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answers and he says, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, upon that rock, I shall build my church. And it was mentioned that when Jesus is saying this, he's saying that the church is a singular word. He's going to build his church. And so what the Apostle Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24, is that Christ has established his kingdom. This is the reason why, because when we are found in God's kingdom, when Jesus comes for the second time, guess what? He's going to present us to God. But we have to be found in that one church, the one that Jesus Christ established. Acts chapter 20. And I'll read that to you here in just a minute. Acts chapter 20. And I'd like to make another point here, because it says here, speaking to the elders, chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock," speaking to the elders, "over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with what? With his own blood." And so we see here that Jesus has bought his church with his own blood. Now, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, to make that point that we started with, verse 24 says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the what? The kingdom to God. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power." So we see here, this is why, if we don't get anything else out of this lesson tonight, remember this, that we need to be found in the Lord's church, in the one that he died for, the one that he established. Because if we're not in, it means that we're what? We're out. It's as simple as that. So keep this in mind. And this is why I wanted to talk about John chapter 15, because Jesus now tells us there that he is the true vine. He has the authority. God has given Jesus the authority. Let's go back to John chapter 15 now, beginning with verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except ye abide in me." Let's stop there for just a minute. We have to understand what's going on at this time in John chapter 15. Jesus has not died yet, but Jesus is about to be crucified, and he's comforting his disciples. Because we read in chapter 14, what does he tell them? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And so, and I think that we would feel the same way. If the authority was about to leave us, he's been leading us all these years. He's been teaching us for about 3 years. And all of a sudden, he's not going to be with us. He's not going to be with us physically. And this is what the disciples are feeling. This is why he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And so Jesus comforts his disciples. And the reason, going back to John chapter 15, this is why he says to them, I am the true vine. So everything that I've taught you, he says, does not come from me, but comes from my Father. This is why verse 1 says that Jesus is the vine, but God is what? And my Bible uses the word husbandman. I looked it up, and another word for it is farmer. Yours may be another word. But what Jesus is saying here, because he says, going back to chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father, cometh unto the Father, but by me. So he's already establishing this with his disciples. He's telling them, don't worry. He says, I will be with you. Philip says to Jesus, he says, well, show me the Father. He says, I want to see the Father. What is Jesus' response there in chapter 14? What is his response to Philip? He says, haven't I been with you all this time, Philip? So what is he saying? He says, you see me, you see the Father. Jesus is the true vine. And if we are the branches, we must show it by our fruits. This is what Jesus is saying. So he's already established that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Chapter 14, verse 10 in John. Jesus says, you believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And so this is God's plan of salvation, is for us to believe in whom? In his Son, Jesus Christ. The same book of John, chapter 3 and verse 16. And I'm sure that we all know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved Son, that whosoever should believe in him, or should believe in him, shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. And so God has put his Son as the true vine. But what Jesus, once again, what Jesus is doing here with this disciple is he's going to comfort him, because they're not going to see him physically anymore. And he's trying to comfort them, and he says, don't worry. And I'll give you an example of that. Our parents, as we're growing up, what do? They guide us. They make decisions for us. Once the parents aren't around anymore, or we marry and create our own family, you know, then we have to make those decisions. And we feel like, you know, well, I wish my parents were still around. This is what the disciples are feeling. Jesus is not going to be around physically anymore. But he says to them, he says, but don't worry, I'm going to send a comforter. And everything that Jesus has taught them, once Jesus is not around, then it'll come to them. They will learn. And we see that in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. When Jesus says, all authority is given unto me, go out and preach unto the whole world the gospel, make disciples. This is what he's telling them here in John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. So if Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches, we have to give fruit according to what? To that branch. Because he continues to say here in John chapter 15, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Verse 5, Jesus tells them again, and he tells us, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So Jesus Christ is that true branch. He says, and like we said in chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. Chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says to them, he says, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. And so we have to give fruit worthy of the vine. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7. There are a few examples there that I'd like to talk about. The Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7. Beginning with verse 13. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto the life, and few there be that find it. Verse 15. And these beginning verse 15, these verses were read last Sunday. He says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? He gives us an example here. He says, if you plant, now take this thought. If you were to go home and plant an apple tree, what do you expect to get out of that tree? Bananas, grapes. It's as simple, you expect to get apples. This is what Jesus is telling us. He is the true vine and we are the branches. So what fruit should we produce? He continues to say here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And he's talking about the false prophet, that you shall know him by what? By his fruits. So if he's an evil person, has evil thoughts, evil intentions, you will see it by what? By his actions. He may look like a sheep. He may come in here looking as a sheep, but inwardly, it says that he is a wolf. Verse 19, Jesus says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down or is cut down and cast into the fire. And let me just tell you this. We've been at our home for 20 years, a little over 20 years now, and I planted trees. And for some reason, you know, some of the trees just won't grow. But I try. And I just feel bad, you know. I don't want to cut that tree down because I said, well, it'll grow. You know, but then I end up having to, like Jesus says here, cut that tree down. Because it's not giving what? It's not producing fruit. Now, when you have a tree that is producing fruit, every year, what do? You prune that tree back so it'll give what? More fruit. And I'll give you another example quickly here. Someone told me this. Some of these trees that you purchase, especially the citrus trees, what they do is they graft them. If you've heard that word, I'm sure that the majority of us here know what grafting is. Well, they'll get a root system that's already established and plant the tree on top, the good tree, and use the roots from that system. Well, I've done that. It was a grafted tree, but then it dried up. But guess what? It grows from underneath the graft. Branches are growing, and I have one right now, and the branches are pretty tall now. But guess what? It's going to give fruit according to the root system. And they say that the roots that they use, I don't know if you've ever seen it's like an orange tree. You see the oranges, and they look beautiful. They look good oranges. But then you open them up, and you eat them, and they're sour. They're sour oranges. So it's not a good fruit. And so that root system, that tree that is growing, we have to, in order for us to give good fruit, has to be that of the true vine. Another example that I'd like to give, and I had several more, but I'd like to talk about this one. John chapter 8. And I think that this is a good example because I think that we also fall in the same thought as the Jews did at this time. They're talking to Jesus, and they say in John chapter 8, beginning with verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then saith they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And they even claim Abraham as their father, and they claim to be children of God. And Jesus says unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so this is John chapter 15 in these verses. What were they claiming? What were they claiming here? That they said, Abraham's our father. Well, if you were Abraham's children, you would show it, you know, you would show good fruits. But Jesus tells them that your father is who? It's the devil, because of the fruits that they were showing. And so if we are branches of that true vine, going back to chapter 15, then we must show it by our fruits. And the last verse I'd like to read is verse 8. In John chapter 15, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. This is what Jesus was telling his disciples. This is what he's telling us. If we are Christians, then we should show it by our fruits. Once again, Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches. What fruit are we producing? If there is a need among us, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation.